Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you?
Oh, nah, what's me name? Pete Donaldson, wear it out if you want. That's my new intro.
What's me name?
What's me name? It's from the Rihanna song. Oh, nah, what's me name? Oh, what's me name? Oh, nice.
I hate that song.
I can't remember what the rest of it is. Rihanna is a goddess.
Know.
Grow up. You can't.
She's all right.
If you can't take me at my most Rihanna arenas, you can't have me at my most, I don't know, girls allowediness.
What I want to know is, how did that song come to your mind right then at the start of the podcast? How does it work? How does your mind work?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what, Chris. I was trying to remember my own name. So in my head, I was going, what's my name again? What name shall I use this time?
The wacky world of Pete Donaldson, ladies and gentlemen. How you been doing? What's been going down?
Good. I have got a new way of learning Japanese vocabulary that's not working very well. Basically, I've put, you know, I sort of said that I put like Japanese vocabulary on the shower curtain and look at it through the window. That really works. I learned furui yesterday, which means old, I believe.
That's right.
And I think, and I remember it because furutsu is like a kind of romanized version of fruit. Japanese word.
Yeah.
So I was thinking old fruit, furui furutsu. So that's got me remembering that. And
maybe you could patent this technology, this groundbreaking idea of vocabulary through shower curtains.
Yeah, why don't we have that? Like a little sucker that sticks on the other side of the glass shower curtain. And then you just put like vocabulary or anything you need to learn really on the other side. But I think like a little kind of few Japanese flashcards would be amazing. Because everybody like gets excited about languages nowadays. You could have like a full set of different languages. Nobody steal my idea. I've already the time you listen to this, we record a couple in advance, so I've already patented it, yeah?
Yeah, good point. Someone might nick this groundbreaking idea. How do you decide what words you want to learn? Like, why did that come up?
Because I think just, I was going for a lot of nouns and stuff, but also like, remembering things like umbrella. They're the sort of words, and window.
Kasa.
Yeah, kasa. And mado, is it? Window?
Yeah, outdoors window.
Shopai, salty.
I love that word.
Yeah, I love it.
Shopai.
Shopai, because it reminds me of boobs.
Shopai.
Salty boobs. That's how I've been. So basically I've also got some words stuck to some pieces of paper that you put on a key ring. I bought it from the Japanese shop around the corner.
Yeah,
these little things.
They're really popular here.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Good idea.
Groundbreaking. I mean, I used digital flashcards, but there is something quite cool about just having cards on a keyring, flicking through them. I used to do, when I went to like Nomikai, Japanese kind of work parties, Enkai, I would write down lots of key phrases that I could use to get conversations going, conversation starters.
Yeah.
And I'd write them down on the little bits of card on the keyring. And then in between the meal and the drinks, I would sneak off to the toilet and just read through a few questions, kind of get them in my mind. And then I'd go out and mix with people. And that was my secret of success
early
on.
So now,
stuff on card.
People listening to the Abroad Japan podcast can write What do you think of Pete's great vocabulary learning idea that involves a shower curtain? That's a great conversation starter. Imagine getting that question called.
Exactly. Mm. It would change the game, Pete.
Game changer.
And it's good that you should bring up the vocabulary as well. We've brought back this week, by popular request, ladies and gentlemen, we've brought back speedy vocabulary. After the kind of before the questions and after the news, we'll now be bringing back vocabulary and teaching Pete and you guys some new words. Because everybody's been wanting it.
Yeah.
Everybody's been missing it the last few weeks.
To be honest, the vocabulary that I presume you're going to be doing this week, not the most useful in daily life, would you say? So be careful what you wish for, guys.
Could work.
Maybe.
But before we jump into this week's news topic, which involves rockets and excitement.
Rockets!
A lot of people have been asking... if they're going to be podcasts during the upcoming cycle, because I'm going to be cycling away for 4 or 5 weeks. But there are going to be podcasts, aren't there, Pete?
Yes, there are, because we do record one in advance, or sometimes, occasionally, if we get lucky, two in advance, just simply because our schedules dictate. I mean, mainly Chris's. I'm very available. I don't have much on, but Chris is a very, very busy man, so we occasionally manage to record a couple in advance. We should be covered for the first half of the cycle, and then I'm going to be out seeing Chris in the cycle, and hopefully, off air, Chris made the point that he's going to take advantage of me being there. Which is a harrowing sentence to hear from any friend. You made it
sound far more sinister than it actually
is. I'm going to take advantage of you, Pete, you said. And then I had some lip smacking.
I didn't say it in that kind of sinister tone of voice.
And then
though,
you did that Farmer Beans speech from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, we're going to be recording in advance and recording Pete while he's there. So there will be podcasts. This train don't stop ever.
No.
Whatever happens. even the time I wasn't here, Pete pretended to be me or like we kind of got around it anyway.
Yeah.
So it'll be fine. Don't worry.
Lovely old job.
There'll always be podcasts. So this week's topic is, of course, a Japanese billionaire, Yusaku Maezawa, is to be launched into space by the big Falcon rocket. Elon Musk announced it a few days ago. It's very exciting. I didn't even know who Yusaku Maezawa was when I first heard his name. I did think, I mean, let's get the elephant out of the room first. I did think someone might have been taking the mick, given his name was Yusaku, which is a name I've never even heard. Thousands of teachers, all the thousands of students I've taught over the years, I have never heard the name Yusaku. But it is a real name, and he is a real billionaire.
Yeah.
He is a billionaire who founded a company called, It's Zozo Town. It's a fashion online retailer. He's worth about $3.5 billion. And he has a reputation for being into his artwork. He got a reputation a few years ago when he dropped $150 million on a single piece of artwork by, I think it was Jean-Michel Basquiat. I can't pronounce that last name.
No, I wouldn't know who he was, to be honest. It's terrible that I don't know, but yeah. Well done for him.
Yeah, something you should definitely know. Mm. But they estimate, it's a secret how much he's put towards the cost of the journey. The big Falcon rocket is said to cost $5 billion to produce, and apparently Yusaku has put towards maybe 5% of the costs, which are around $250 million. But it's not been formally announced. That's just speculation.
Chump change.
Chump change to a man worth $3.5 billion. But most excitingly of all, he's vowed to take 6 to 8 artists on the journey with him because he thinks it's a great opportunity to get people inspired. And apparently if he takes the artists up to the moon, maybe they'll be inspired to create some sort of groundbreaking artwork that will get people wanting to go into space. So kind of ties in nicely with Elon Musk's grand plan to send everyone to Mars. But yeah, I think it's very exciting. What a great kind of guy to go up there. Fair play to him. Don't know if I'd have the balls to do it.
I sort of trust the scientists and engineers implicitly, but it's one of those situations where what if you just got stuck? You'd be relying on like sort of NASA to mount a really quick kind of, you know, mission to get to the moon and then back again to rescue these poor astronauts. Oh, it would be like the most tense mission. And the second mission that Elon Musk has, rescue mission that Elon Musk has involved in, sort of, after his failed mission to get those kids out of that cave. And then he accused one of the devs of being a paedophile. I'm a bifter. Put the bifter down, honestly.
I know, right? I'm a big Elon Musk fan. I have met him. For those of you that are listening, you don't know that. I did meet Elon Musk.
Yeah, yeah.
I gave him his birthday cake about 10 years ago when I was working as a waiter or in hospitality. I don't like the word waiter, even though I definitely was a waiter. I was working in hospitality and he had his birthday at this castle where I worked, and I was tasked with bringing out his birthday cake, which was shaped like a Falcon 9 rocket.
Yeah.
I kind of knew who he was back then because I was into my business. I loved entrepreneurs, and I knew he'd founded PayPal and SpaceX and Tesla. All of my other colleagues had no idea who he was. They just referred to him as some American billionaire. But it was really, you know, awesome. I didn't even get to talk to him, apart from, "Happy birthday, Mr. Musk," and then when I slammed the cake down before him.
Yeah, so
I've always felt a kind of some sort of connection to him as a result of that.
Well,
I'm a part of his success.
His business practices, I mean, much like any entrepreneur or anyone who works in Silicon Valley, I worry for their employees. I find him quite troubling at times, but, you know, there's not many people like him. So good on him, I guess. It would be nice to see somebody back on the moon.
Yeah, I have faith that he'll do it. I mean, he tends to have pretty lofty goals, but he tends to come through at the same time, just a bit later than expected. This mission is supposed to happen in 2023, so you've got 5 years to get there. But the rocket, the Big Falcon Rocket, or Big Fucking Rocket, I think it's an acronym, BFR, it's kind of an inside joke that everyone knows. Big Fucking Rocket is supposed to be in development, and it's kind of going along nicely. So it does feel like it's within range of actually happening 5 years. But I still wouldn't have the confidence. I mean, Yusuke Maezawa is taking 6 to 8 artists with him, musicians, painters. What if Pete Donaldson, he decided to take one of the top radio DJs in the UK, which is you, and
yes.
And you found yourself being asked along on this journey to inspire a generation, would you say yes?
Yes, I would, for the simple reason that I am furious that no astronaut has ever tried to jump over another astronaut on the moon.
You would do this?
I would and leap over another astronaut, another artist, another radio DJ, whoever found themselves on the moon.
Right.
I would take a running, bouncing jump and see if I could do a full somersault, possibly double somersault, over that person.
And that would be your artistic gift to the world.
Yeah, that would be so cool. No one's, I've never done a bicycle kick in a football match, but I could do one on the moon, I reckon. I wouldn't, pull my shoulder out of joint if I landed on it.
To be fair, that's a pretty good pitch. Why are we going to have these musicians making beautiful songs about the moon?
Yeah.
Painters painting the moon up against the world, against the earth. There's just going to be you doing jumps over people. I don't think they're actually landing on the moon, though. I think they're going around it.
What? Well, what's the point? Get him on the moon. How tantalising. You're just sort of...
I'm fairly certain they're not landing on it.
What? That's not fair then, is it? They were giving it the big licks about only, 2 dozen people have ever been to the moon. 1972, the last time we visited them. I want them walking on the moon. I want those guys walking on the moon. It's so tantalising. It's right outside your window and you can't sort of just, set foot. Oh.
True.
I'd be pulling the emergency cord. Let me off. Get me on this moon.
Yeah, that could be problematic. But I think it's a lot harder to land on the moon than it is to just simply fly around it.
True.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain they're not landing on it.
Okay. I'd blow
but
it
still,
up.
Still, going around it.
I'm not saying that wouldn't be amazingly cool, yeah. But we're sort of in the, it's just a little bit further than what they did before, I suppose. Have they successfully launched something? Yeah, because they had some bother, didn't they, last couple of years?
SpaceX.
There's been a couple of explosions and stuff.
Yeah, I think last year or the year before, a satellite got blown up, a Facebook satellite. I think Mark Zuckerberg was too happy about that. But they have successfully delivered things to the International Space Station. They've never launched a human being yet, but that is on the cards, I think, for early next year. So it's a pretty big leap to get a human on a rocket and launch it.
You might say it's a giant
part
leap.
Of me. Well, part of me does think, is Yusuk Maizar really going to go into space? You know, it probably is. But still, you could say yes, pay all the money, get this amazing publicity, and when the time comes, just sort of say, oh, no, my
legs
hurts now. I can't go. Having enjoyed literally billions of dollars of free publicity for 5 years.
I can't help but draw a parallel with your cycle ride, Chris. Is that what you're planning to do?
You bastard. To be fair, me cycling 2,000 kilometres is probably less likely to successfully
Chris
happen
X.
than sending a big Falcon rocket around the moon.
Can we call this whole thing Chris X with the Falcon X. rocket? We'll call you. We need to name your bike. That's what we need to do. We need to come up with a name for, like, we need to call it like a trusty something or other, like your trusty steed. You need to name it. So, you know, get in touch. At Abroad in Japan. Let's come up with some names, people.
That's right. That could be the listener's contribution. If you're listening to this and you want to name my bike, give me some ideas. Send in your ideas to broadjapanpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. And
let's make this happen.
And the support car and all of your baggage and your energy gel pouches and your Lucozids and your Pocari sweats. And you've got to name everything.
Do it.
Yay.
What I like about this Yusuk Maizawa character, though, is he seems very cool. Like, I feel like he's a part of that Japanese stereotype where you have this sort of mad scientist or gaming figure. Like, I was recently watching this new show on Netflix called Maniac with Jonah Hill.
Oh,
and
yes.
And Emma
Stone.
Crikey, what's her name? You've probably interviewed her, haven't you?
No, never done either of them, weirdly enough, because they're about my level, I'd say. Not my level, but, like, as in... They're in films that will be advertised on radio, which are usually slightly underwhelming films.
Right. But in this TV show, Maniac, there's kind of a mad scientist figure.
Excuse
and
me.
He's just randomly Japanese.
Oh, right, yeah.
Similar to if you watch something like Black Mirror, again on Netflix, they've kind of got a mad Japanese gaming entrepreneur who's clearly modelled on sort of Hideo Kojima.
Right.
I don't know, I feel like there's a stereotype that a lot of Japanese guys, kind of businessmen, gamers, scientists, are all kind of a bit wacky or something.
Yeah.
Might just be me making that up, but it does feel like often if you need someone who's a bit of an eccentric figure, just make them into a Japanese guy who's slightly... eccentric and mental.
Yeah, but I mean, they're exciting and they're cool at the same time, so it kind of ticks a load of boxes. Because, I mean, you have these characters in England and they're like, you know, James Dyson or something. they're quite dull characters. They're a bit
Making
Brexit.
A Hoover.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. I mean, Yusuk Maizawa is a bit of a kind of wacky character himself. He doesn't fit the sort of Japanese... What's the phrase I'm looking for? He does stand out, right?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't conform to the stereotype.
Well, he's a multi-billionaire.
To the normal way of doing things. He's a multi-billionaire, but he also skipped college and moved to California, where he kind of started a rock band, and then he got into making his e-commerce company from there. So he's taken a kind of unconventional route, shall we say, in contrast to most Japanese guys. So,
I mean, fair dues. He's only 42 as well. He's probably got 50 years of this in front of him.
Yeah, but fair play to him. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Fucking horrible. Oh.
Wow.
And that takes us now to Speedy Vocabulary.
Yay!
A much-awaited segment. Back from the dead.
One small step for vocabulary.
Absolutely. And our first word is moon. Ooh. Given that they are going to the moon, or around the moon, I figured that'd be the first word. And all of these words relate to space in some way. But yeah, the first word, moon. What is it, Mr. Donaldson?
Not a clue.
You don't know?
No, not a clue, actually. No, I don't know this one at all.
It is ski. T-S-U-K-I. Ski.
Yeah.
Ski.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, Yusak is actually Yusaku, but nobody ever sort of uses the U, do they? They sort of go, Yusak. With a slight.
Yeah.
A with, slight.
That's right. You don't pronounce the U heavily. Yeah.
So...
ski. I mean...
Ski.
You see the word... The word moon's actually in quite a lot of vocabulary. For example, we use it in months. Might ski means every month.
Ah.
There's lots of uses for it. But yeah, ski. What about rocket?
Well, you can. I think you can remember, because ski means lovable, doesn't it? Or likable, or I like.
Well, ski. Yeah, that's S-U-K-I.
So just add a T. Just add a T on the end. Just add the T at the start. You'll be fine.
Exactly. That could be your meme. That could be your mnemonic for remembering that word. Yeah. What about rocket?
I think if I was going to be a betting person, and I'm not, let's face it, I would probably say that this is probably just Rocketto or something like that.
Good. Yeah, it is. Rocketto.
I never sort of know what the rules are when they sort of convert English words into Japanese and they write it out with Romaji and stuff. Like, why not Rocketto rather or Rocketta rather than Rocketto? I never understand why they go for a certain...
It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, Rocketto. Rocketto!
Rolls off the tongue. Rocketto.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I guess rocket would have been a big thing in the 20th century.
Yeah.
And the Japanese didn't invent rockets. So they would have borrowed that word. So it's a foreign borrowed word. Yeah. Yeah. Easy one there. And it's used in lots of ways. Like rocket, I think rocket launcher is just Rocketto launcher.
Nice.
Rocketto launcher.
Lovely.
I might be wrong there. That does sound a bit off, actually. I need to look that up. But yeah, Rocketto, remember that. That'll come in handy one day. And what about space? You know the word for space?
Uchu.
Good. Yeah. How do you know that?
Uchu. It's one of my nouns. One of my few nouns I know.
Whacked on the shower curtain.
Next to window and umbrella.
Has this genuinely made your curtain list?
My curtain list?
Your
I mean,
curtain
well,
list.
No. I think I learned it in one of my many books I bought and then never read. Got through the first few pages and then it was just like, oh, everything's in hiragana, fuck it.
I mean, that's an easy one. Uchu. The chu is elongated, so it's U-C-H-U-U is the best way to remember that. Let's see how smart you are. What about uchujin? What do you think
uchujin.
That means?
Uchujin. Well, igrisujin des is, I am an English person. So I would say, and Jin is person, so space person. That's adorable. Alien.
Space person.
Oh. Yeah. Uchujin.
It shows you how what I like about the Japanese language is it's very logical.
Yeah.
Right, once you learn like one thing, you can quickly, it all comes together like a puzzle.
Mm.
With Uchujin, yeah, it does mean space person, alien. Yusujin, British person. Gaijin, foreign person. Uchujin, alien.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, Japanese language, it all comes together rather nicely. And so that's what makes it so fun to learn and to put it on your shower curtain.
all of the Sharpie ink keeps on going on my shower curtain. I was like, oh, I'm probably going to lose my deposit for that. Never mind.
Oh, God.
It's worth it to learn the word Shopai.
Absolutely. That's the word of the week. Shopai. Shopai. So Shopai means salty.
Mm, so salty. And spicy is karai. Is it? Yes.
It is, yeah. Yeah. Good.
There
when
we
we're making our videos, when you're along on the cycle, you'll have to word drop Shopai somewhere. Maybe go to like some ramen shop and you eat it and you're like, oh, I should call it a Shopai then.
Shall we do some questions from the fax machine, Chris?
Yes.
Ooh,
what have we got
la.
Going on in the fax machine today, Mr. Donaldson?
We have got an email from James in Melbourne, Australia. We do get a lot of Australian missives, dispatches. Lovely to have you along, guys.
They're obviously Australia and Sweden and America.
Big talk.
The big three.
Big guys.
It seems.
I usually listen to your podcast in the mornings when I'm making breakfast for my ungrateful whining children. Either that or I...
That's the best line I've ever heard in a question that's been sent in.
Either that or I listen to it when I'm running an errand for the aforementioned whining children. It brings a small glimmer of exoticism into my otherwise banal days to be in Melbourne listening to two English blokes talk about Japan. What a time to be alive! On to my question. I visited Japan about 10 years ago, and at the time I paid for everything in cash. Since then, with the rise of tap-and-go payments in Australia, I hardly ever use cash. I know that Japan has been relatively slow to take up those kind of payments, but will I still need to get thousands of yen out of the cash machine at the airport as soon as I arrive? Thanks for everything, says James. Will he need to get a load of cash out? Now, my friend is who's going out, or basically a friend of a friend texted me saying, I've got like this Wii card thing, which I think is like one of those kind of foreign debit cards that you can sort of put a load of money on and just get stuff out. Can I use that abroad? Can I use that there? And I was like, well, it's a MasterCard, so you could probably use it in a load of department stores. But other than that, you just need a lot of cash, mate. Just you may as well grab as much cash as you can possibly imagine.
Yeah, I think Japan's still a bit behind. Like, when I go back to the UK, it's a miracle when I can just use my Visa card, right? You just tap it and it's like instant payment done. In Japan, it's getting there. I think my friend Ryotaro, he often uses his phone, which is a Suica card on the phone. Like, it's got a...
Oh, nice.
What's it called? NFC chip?
Yes.
Is it an NFC chip? So you can just tap your phone against the Suica card reader. And in Japan, you can pay for most things with a Suica card in a lot of little... convenience stores. I mean, if you catch the train, you use your Suica card. If you go into a convenience store to buy something, again, you can use the Suica card. Also, vending machines. It's very handy as well. So just buy a Suica card and top it up with some money. But typically, in Japan, most people do carry up to $500 in cash at any one time. Like, it's always... I was out with a friend of mine, a Japanese friend, the other night, and he opened his wallet, and there was, like, $2,000 in there in, like, notes. And he looked like... It looked very exciting and fun. Like, it looked like a gangster or something.
Can I guess? Was that the guy who I met when I was over in Japan, Chris, who had the money in his wallet?
That's right. The guy that lavished premium sushi upon you.
Yes. Okay.
Top man. One of my best friends.
He's such a don. I want to be him.
He is pretty damn cool. Most people carry that kind of cash around on them.
Massively. I'm usually walking down the street with at least... You know, 400, probably about 350 quid in my pocket, just simply because it's just...
Mark Pete Donaldson.
Yo, I'm Pete Donaldson. You never know when you're going to, you know, make it rain. But, it's just one of those things, isn't it? It's like I always take a ridiculous amount of holiday money out. I always spend it. I'm always left with 100 yen coins, though. So if you can get rid of those as soon as you can, that's the big deal, isn't it? Just getting rid of all the... If you're just on holiday, just getting rid of all of the coins.
Well, if you do have lots of coins, you can. What a good thing to do is to take your Suica card, put it in the machine, and then just top it up with
all your spare coins. Yeah,
it
that's takes such a
like,
good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, it takes up like 10 yens coins. So you accumulate a lot of coinage when you're travelling around Japan. So just whack it all onto your Suica card, and it becomes a lot easier way of carrying all that loose change around, right?
I must admit, when I got my Japanese railway pass, it's one of those things where you can buy that before you get to Japan. Actually, that's the only way you can buy it outside Japan or in certain areas. But you can also buy Suica cards as well. So I picked up a cheeky Suica card loaded with $20 worth of credit. And what I'll do is at the airport, I'll just change all my bits and just, you know, put it on a Suica card. Lovely old job.
Put it on the cheeky Suica.
The cheeky Suica.
Nickname it. Yeah, cheeky Suica.
No, cheeky Suica. But we discovered back in a couple of episodes ago that I thought, why do they not mention that Suica means watermelon? But apparently it isn't. It's the word card, ka, and sui, which is the onomatopoeic noise for like a swish sort of noise, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. I didn't know that either. We got
shamed
there.
We're learning.
My Japanese knowledge got shamed there. on the subject of money, we've got a question here from Paul. He says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. I've been listening to the podcast whilst walking around Tokyo and Kyoto for the last few weeks to ensure the full 4D experience. I changed up my money before I came over and was given some 2,000 yen notes. Every single time I've used them to pay, one of the people I've handed it to has gone pretty much batshit mental. Through many broken conversations, I've worked out that these 2,000 yen notes are pretty rare, and most people have only ever seen one or two. I would like to know how long they've been around and why are these things so unusual. Cheers, Paul." I had that actually when I came to Japan 6 years ago when I changed up all my money. And I arrived here, I had quite a few 2,000 yen notes. It turns out the 2,000 yen notes are only really used overseas in currency converter places. I've never seen one since then.
Yeah,
I changed the money abroad.
That's true, actually. I've never been given one as change. And yeah, I think I've had a couple getting changed. I might ask for some this time. I might go to the House of Hanover in London, which is where I get all my Japanese currency because they do a pretty good conversion rate. And I might specify some 2,000 notes.
You should, but then you can't spend them. You've got to keep them. My friend was, when I showed it, my friend was mind blown. He was like, "Wow, my God, we never see those. You should keep it." And I was like, "Yeah." And then I spent it the next day on some fried chicken and then quickly realised, bugger, why did I use that? I could have just used another note, but
could you not sell it to someone over in Japan? Could you not get a 2,000 yen note and sell it to someone in Japan and go, "I want 2,500.
I'm fairly sure that's illegal, but you could certainly try.
Nuts.
But actually, when you come on the cycle, Pete, try and bring some 2,000 yen notes so we can put it in a video.
Okie dokie.
Really cool and clever.
I'll do my best. Do that. The man who's on the 1,000 yen notes, I think, he's a man who's got some beautiful hair. Like, if you Google 1,000 yen note, he's got some beautiful hair. I think he might have either eradicated or discovered syphilis.
Yeah.
Out of a lot of his other achievements. I think one of the things that he did was, I think he discovered or possibly cured syphilis. So it's a rather a strange thing to have on you. You know, your main kind of like note. It's like having someone who eradicated
some
clap or something
there.
On the £10 note or something.
There you go. Mm. Fact of the day.
Fact of the day. Well, it's not fact of the day. It's a half-remembered piece of small trivia of the day. Dylan from Johannesburg in South Africa. I've got a change in Johannesburg to go to Zimbabwe next week. Very confusing. How's it,
nice
Chris
one.
And Pete? How's it? I was listening to the latest podcast while going to go skydiving this weekend. Holy moly. And noticed the following continuity error. A week back, Chris mentioned his favourite Bond movie was You Only Live Twice when talking about Himeji Castle. However, this week that's changed from Russia with Love when talking about trains. So which is it, Chris? What made it funny was shortly after Chris mentioned how Risotto changed his mind on his favourite mackerel. Best of luck for the cycle and your search for a comfortable saddle. Looking forward to the daily videos. Yeah, Dylan, you've pointed out a glaring bit of continuity on Chris's behalf. What did you do? What have you done, Chris? What have you done with your James Bond love?
It's true, isn't it? Mm. I think my favourite James Bond movie is actually Casino Royale, so I'm going to change it again. I think From Russia With Love is the most James Bond film ever made, just because it's got a very nice kind of... It's very much just based on James Bond being a spy. There isn't even that much action, apart from a sequence on a train. Like, it's just very kind of a nice traditional spy film, and I love it for that. Mm. You Only Live Twice is the complete antithesis to that. They've got the villain has his base in a volcano in Kagoshima, a massive set, and there's like thousands of people roping down from the ceiling into the base to blow it up at the end, which is mocked, of course, in The Simpsons. You only move twice. But I think Casino Royale with Daniel Craig is actually my favourite Bond film. I love watching it over and over every year. Just because I think it gets the right kind of combination of action and being a spy film. Mm. And the villain's really cool. Le Chiffre is really good. I love the poker scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a very epic film, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it's probably
I did
my favourite Bond film.
I'm not a great lover of James Bond, but I think, yeah, the first couple of Craig ones are pretty decent, weren't they?
Yeah, I think it ticked all the right boxes. I wasn't a fan of the last one. Skyfall was good, but the last one, what was it called? Spectre, that was it.
Oh, that was,
I thought it was rubbish.
I had to watch that for a James Bond podcast I was appearing on, because quite frankly, Chris, I don't do enough podcasts, and spent $7.99 on the standard definition version because I was watching it on my little projector in my bedroom, and the HD version is exactly the same price. Furious.
Wow. There you go.
I must say
I'm excited by the people that have sent questions in this week. We've got Dylan, who was off doing a skydive.
Yeah.
And just suddenly came up with that idea for a question. And James, with his terrible children, his ungrateful, whining children. A few weeks ago, I asked you guys to send in your questions and paint a picture of the situation or the scenario in which you listen to them. And thank you for doing that. A lot of the recent emails that have come in through the fax machine have actually been pretty funny to read, just by hearing the different places you watch them from, you listen to them from. But of course, do send in your questions to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next Wednesday to discuss yet more stuff about Japan. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be listening from, have a great week, and we'll see you then. Fare thee well.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.